This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Say yes to Pure Leaf Tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf Tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This Bregman audio did make the rounds yesterday.
Yeah.
And Alex Bregman, it was a whole saga, a fiasco here where the Tigers desperately wanted to add him. He was their number one target. They made him the best offer in terms of years, security, and guaranteed money. And he didn't end up in Detroit. Well, yesterday he was on Foul Territory, one of his baseball shows, podcasts, and he spoke about the situation and how close it was that he would have been a Detroit Tiger. Do you buy that he thought he was going to Detroit the whole time?
If that's the case, and he thought it was nearly a done deal, what was holding up? The fact of signing the contract. Why not get with your team? Why not, you know, get to know some of the teammates? Why not make that decision? I think he was always holding out that there would have been something a little bit more, a little bit better. And I also don't believe, I know that Boston was rumored to be in and out and then back in. Same thing with Houston, where he was coming from. They were
Cubs.
They were out, they were in, and then, you know, then they were ultimately out because they had decided to move on and sign somebody else. Cubs, same thing. The one constant throughout the entire process was Detroit. So it's not surprising to hear that maybe he thought he was going to Detroit, but, you know, it's what was the conversation between him and Scott Harris? More importantly, what was the conversation between him and A.J. Hinch?
Who he says he's talked to all offseason and knows very well.
And, you know, that last, quote unquote, half hour. I don't necessarily buy it that, you know, in the waning moments of this negotiation that all of a sudden Boston came in with something that was dramatically different.
Detroit had the opt-out after 2 years. He wanted the opt-out after one, is what we're led to believe was one of the sticking points. It sounds to me like he was sitting on Detroit's offer, hoping someone would get him out of that. Which doesn't sound like he was dying to go to Detroit. It felt like it was Detroit by default unless someone threw him a parachute.
Yeah, and I mean, in the end, you don't want to be a team that he settled for.
Right.
I mean, we would love to have a third baseman right now.
Trust me, I would love Alex Bregman to be on this baseball team. I don't share the like jilted X mentality that I see from some Tiger fans. We didn't want him anyway. No, I very much wanted him to be a Detroit Tiger, and so did Scott Harris and A.J. Hinch. So it's not that. It'd be great if he was here, but it's pretty obvious. He was waiting for someone to give him an out so he didn't have to sign here, which sucks. I mean, that's salt in the wound, especially given the fact that Jace Young, the backup plan, well, actually, Vierling, the backup plan, gets hurt. Then the backup to the backup plan, Jace Young, is going to start the year down in AAA. Yeah, it's salt in the open wound.
It is, and it doesn't do us any good, especially knowing that Jace Young, as you mentioned, did not perform in spring training like the Tigers or us wanted him to. And Matt Vierling, hurt. Now we're left with the platooning at that position. You're left with options of Javi Baez going from short to second, which that means probably Trey Sweeney at short. And when on days where Javi doesn't, and if Javi can't hit, do you go as far down the ladder as putting Cole Keith over there? Because Spencer Torkelson has hit. That's been a little bit of a bright spot. We don't know if that translates to regular
season. I
don't
think it's happening. I know you've mentioned in the last couple days here because he played 1,000 innings. Triple A third or minor league third base, but they have moved him to the right side of the infield. I don't think they think he's got a strong enough arm. And to the point now, they're teaching him first. I can't imagine last minute.
They move him over to third?
Yeah, a week before the season. Hey, congrats. You're going back over to third.
We've seen Javi Baez, like last year, all right, he ended up having surgery. We've also seen times where he has been injured.
Yeah.
What happens if he goes down? What happens if something happens to Trey Sweeney? Like, I mean, those are contingency plans that you've got to account for. Yeah. With 2 weeks remaining, this is a week ago. Oh, well, let's try Spencer Torkelson in right field.
Yeah. It does feel musical chairs, I think, is what was used in one of the updates today. It's been musical chairs for the Tigers. They don't have stability at a couple key positions defensively. And yet, the season's a week away.
It is a week away. And today.
If Bregman's a free agent next year, how do you feel about going through this whole saga again? Because we will.
That's a tough question.
If he hits, he's going to opt out.
If he hits and he opts out, he'll be attractive. But he's attractive and he's a year older.
Yeah.
And you missed a year of the prime. What are you going to get in terms of not just the first couple of years of the contract? Because that was never the concern in signing him.
No.
It was, are you going to give him a 5-year deal, 6-year deal? Someone even whispered 7. Now, all of a sudden, a year older, you're probably looking at four, five on the outside.
Yeah. But you're going to be willing to commit less money to him because you didn't get one of the prime years, right? Part of the reason to add him was to get this year. This is a prime year. If I'm signing you to a deal, I'm getting one less year. I might want to chop off a little bit of that annual cost.
And do you have to go through the same song and dance where you're not making a contingency plan because you think, hey, we're going to get Bregman. This deal is going to get done. And then does it happen again?
Look, if I was the Tigers and I got very little out of third base and Bregman hit 300 and was an all-star and maybe even wins a gold glove, he's opting out and he's going to command a lot of money. If I'm the Tigers, of course I'm interested. I'd make another competitive offer. But what I can't do is make the only option Bregman at third base, right? That would have to be what Scott Harris learns from all this is you make an offer to Alex Bregman, again, if it comes to it, but you draw a deadline, right? You say, you know what? We love you. We think we're giving you the best deal. We're going to look out for you. You know your manager's got your back here. Here's the deal. And if you don't accept by January 1, there's still a couple bats out there, just to use an example. We're moving on. That might be how I would approach it next time around is we'll give you the offer. You have to tell us if you're saying yes. And if you're not saying yes, you're saying no. And we're going to add someone who does want to be here.
Yeah.
A couple quick ticket texts. The Alex Bregman audio where he said he was going to be a Tiger the whole time until the very last second those Red Sox came in. It sounds like he was waiting for someone to come in and save him from coming to Detroit.
Yeah.
I'm disappointed. We're bummed. Let's get the phones. Let's get to Mike in Woodhaven. You're on 97.1.
Good morning, guys.
Good morning. How you doing?
I'm doing good. I think people are forgetting that Torkelson was drafted as a third baseman, and when he was in college, he was a pretty good third baseman, has an above-average arm, and why not give him a shot? He's got to be better than Baez over there.
Well, I don't know that Baez is going to be bad at third base.
Defensively, you're saying?
Defensively.
He doesn't hit.
Okay, well, we're talking about defense right now. And, I mean, what makes you believe, I know Torque has had a good spring, but what makes you believe he's going to hit when it comes time for the regular season?
I think he's finally figured it out. You can see a difference between last year and this year. Just I can see the difference from watching. He seems more focused and on his game. Last year, he was lost, and the best thing for him was getting sent down. But I'd try him at third base. That way you're not messing with putting people all over the place, and so, I really don't want to see him in right field.
Why don't you want to see him in right field?
I don't think he has the speed to be an outfielder.
Maybe. He played a little outfield in college. He played very little third base in college. And then he did briefly play a little third in the minors. Remember, the Tigers announced him as a third baseman. But I think they came to the conclusion early in his development, foot speed, reaction time, arm strength, whatever their determination was, he was not going to be a major league third baseman. And he hasn't played third base in years.
Yeah. Well, he hasn't played outfield in years.
Yeah. I guess the thought is you can just stick a guy out in the outfield and deal with a little bit of a defensive loss. But if your guy at third can't play third defensively, you're going to be in for a mess of problems.
So it does seem like everybody that they've drafted has been third.
At one point?
At one point, yeah. I mean, Torque, Cole Keith. I think it's defensively an easier transition because we've seen it before. Guys go from short and they don't have the range anymore. So they go to third. They go from third to second. Second to first.
Sure, in the case of Cole Keith here. Texter says, because I brought up if they're going to pursue Bregman again next year, and it could be a very real nauseating possibility, Scott has to have a cutoff date. He can't get left with nothing. Texter says, you're saying they didn't have a contingency plan. That's not true. They had Vierling and Jace Young. Both of them are temporarily out of the picture at the same time. It doesn't seem like poor planning as much as bad luck. Well, Vierling had hardly played third. And Jace Young, for all the talk about you can't block him, is still an unproven young player. I mean, they didn't have a great backup plan.
There was nothing. The level of confidence that if you didn't get Bregman was not high.
Right.
Whether it's, you know, Jace Young, and we're all excited. We think he could be, but he's not right now. And Vierling, that's a placeholder until you could figure it out with somebody a little bit better. The great thing about Vierling is he does hit.
Yes.
And he could play a number of different positions.
And that kind of where his value was, is he was a better outfielder than an infielder. Yeah. He'd only played like 70, 75 games at third base in his career. He would do it in a pinch because he's a versatile player, but it's clear the Tigers' preference to the point where they let all the other options go was Alex Bregman. Right, we said it when they added Gleyber Torres, it couldn't be the only bat they added, and lo and behold, it ended up being the only bat they added. So it does put more of a pressure on Spencer Torkelson to hit wherever he ends up in the lineup, wherever he ends up in the field.